This is your life, episode 98. This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? This is your life. Is everything you dreamed it would be when the world was younger and you had everything? Hello and welcome to this episode of This Is Your Life. My name is Michael Hyatt, and this is the podcast dedicated to intentional leadership. My goal is to help you live with more passion, work with greater focus, and lead with extraordinary influence. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to regain interior margin through the practice of stillness. Look, I don't have to tell you, we live in a crazy, noisy world. It's like there's a war on stillness. You can't go anywhere without being subjected to an unrelenting barrage of voices, music, sounds, noise, a cacophony of noise. And the problem is that this is like an assault on your soul. It robs us of our energy, our productivity, and our focus. And we spend our days endlessly, it seems, distracted by trivial things instead of paying attention to those few things that matter most. And I think the key to regaining our sanity is to practice the ancient art of stillness on a regular basis. And in this episode, I'll share why that's important and how to get started. So you can find the outline, the resource links, and a complete transcript in the show notes at michaelhyatt.com/98. As in episode 98. I'll be back in just a minute with some thoughts on this topic.
This is you competing against all other people in the same niche. I didn't hear it either. To get your message heard in an increasingly competitive and noisy world, you need a solid platform. You need a place to wow your audience. Build your home base, engage your tribe, and expand your reach. The solution? The Platform Conference, November 9th through the 11th, 2014. Brought to you by Michael Hyatt and Ken Davis. The Platform Conference is the place to take your platform to the next level. Our small and intimate environment will enable you to work closely with some of the most prolific speakers in the world and network with individuals who are invested in personal growth and success. Register today at platformconference.tv.
And be heard in a noisy world.
Well, according to the popular StrengthsFinder assessment, my top strength is achiever. Now, I talked about this in a blog post I wrote a while back called, Are You Operating in Your Strengths Zone? And the report that summarized my test results said this about the achiever strength. It said, people who are especially talented in the achiever theme have a great deal of stamina and work hard. They take great satisfaction from being busy and productive. Well, that strength has certainly served me well, but honestly, it also has a dark side. It means I have a difficult time turning off my mind and just being still. I seem to be more of a human doing than a human being. Well, about 3 years ago, my wife Gail recommended that I read a book called The Joy Diet by Martha Beck. And I didn't really want to read it, but I did it as a favor to her. She was so insistent, she thought it would be helpful. And she said, look, you're not going to agree with everything in this book, but I think it will really challenge you, especially the first chapter. Well, intrigued, I decided to read the book while we were on vacation. And the first chapter is entitled Nothing. I mean, literally, that's the chapter title. And in summarizing the chapter, Beck says, quote, to begin the joy diet, you must do nothing for at least 15 minutes a day, end quote. Well, I was so challenged by that one chapter that I read it 4 times before moving on to the rest of the book. And I've also practiced this discipline now for the past 3 years or so. And I haven't done it perfectly. Sometimes I've gone for weeks without practicing, but usually I do it daily. And honestly, this has been one of the most transformational things I've ever done. It's been a wonderful, wonderful habit. Well, what is stillness? Well, Beck's premise is that doing nothing is the most productive activity you will ever undertake. And I would have to agree with her. And by doing nothing, she means literally doing nothing. This is not prayer, at least not in the sense of talking to God. It's not problem solving. It's not planning. Doing nothing is being still, quieting your mind and the cacophony of voices, and simply being. Well, all the ancient wisdom literature points to the importance of this practice. Psalm 46:10, for example, is representative. It says, "Be still and know that I'm God." And this is really, really difficult in our media-rich, always-on, over-communicated society. Noise seems to crowd into every empty space, and it leaves us spiritually, mentally, and emotionally exhausted. Mother Teresa expressed it this way. She said, quote, "We need to find God, and he cannot be found in noise and restlessness. God is the friend of silence. See how nature, trees, flowers, grass, grows in silence? See the stars, the moon, and the sun, and how they move in silence? We need silence to be able to touch souls." End quote. Abba Poman, one of the ancient desert fathers, taught his disciples, quote, "If you are silent, you will have peace wherever you live." End quote. And I think that's exactly right. Well, why do you need stillness? I doubt, honestly, that you need to be convinced that you need some stillness in your life. Probably most of you are like me. You feel this need just viscerally that you need to have a space in your life where you can be quiet. And as I've shared about this topic with others, they inevitably say, "Oh, I so need that in my life. How do I start?" Well, here are three of my own reasons for practicing the discipline of stillness, and see if you can connect with any of these. Number one, I want to maintain perspective. You know, if I don't take time to be still, I find myself in reactive mode, influenced by hundreds of little voices with big demands. And if I don't pay attention to this, before long, my whole agenda is hijacked by little things, and I do nothing of importance. Second, I want to stay connected to my true self. I don't want to get confused thinking that I'm the image I present to the world. They're related, of course, but I want to live from the inside out, and stillness gives me that opportunity to get grounded, to get centered, and to live from the inside out. Number three, I want more internal margin in my life. You know, I've been pursuing external margin in my calendar and finances for the last couple of years and working at it hard. Sometimes it's three steps forward, sometimes two steps back. But I also want internal margin. In fact, that's the most important margin of all. More room to notice what matters most and to be thankful for it. So, how do you practice stillness? Honestly, the practice of stillness is not something I have enough experience with to talk about. In fact, I feel a little pretentious for even attempting this podcast about it. But perhaps the value that I can add to the conversation is that I'm not so experienced that I've forgotten what it's like to be a beginner. And I very much consider myself to be a beginner when it comes to the practice of stillness. So in that spirit, let me offer a few suggestions for how you can practice stillness in your own journey and reclaim some interior margin. Number one, schedule a time. For me, I schedule stillness first thing in the morning. It's become so precious to me that I don't want to start my day without it. I practice this first, and I mean before prayer, before Bible reading, before journaling, before exercise. I practice stillness. So number one, schedule a time. Number two, find a place. Now, when I was on vacation, I sat on a dock by the lake. That was awesome. When I've been vacationing at the ocean or in the mountains, I've had beautiful settings. That was ideal, but it's not my real world. Now I simply go into my study and I shut the door. And the main thing is to find a place where you won't be interrupted. Number three, set a timer. Now I'm following Beck's admonition to set aside 15 minutes a day. And that's what I've been doing now for 3 years. But in my limited experience, that seems about right. It's amazing how my perception of this time changes from day to day. Sometimes it seems like forever. Other times it goes by very quickly. But regardless, I use the timer on my iPhone and I set it for 15 minutes exactly. Number four, relax your body. I simply sit in a soft chair with my eyes closed and then I systematically relax my body and get quiet. And Beck says that if you can't sit still, then engage in any mindless physical activity like rocking in a chair or watching some natural motion like fire or running water. I happen to play a recording I have of the ocean from the group Anagama, and I've got a link in the show notes to that if you're interested in it. But sometimes a little bit of white noise or something can actually focus, help you to focus and get quiet. Number five, quiet your mind. Now, honestly, this is the biggest challenge for me. Just when I get still, I have some random thought or a whole flurry of thoughts, but I'm getting better. Beck offers several techniques for practicing what she calls non-judgmental observation, which is a discipline that keeps your allotted time from being hijacked by an overly active mind. So you might want to pick up a copy of her book. I've got a link in the show notes, but she can help you with some of that stuff. Number six, be present. You know, don't be regretting or even celebrating the past. Don't be worrying or dreaming about the future. Instead, collect your thoughts and be present in this moment. It's the most important time that you and I have. In fact, it's the only time that we have. So simply be present. And then number seven, and this has been the most helpful part of it all to me, learn to return. This involves recalling a place of peace where you had a particularly vivid experience of peace and stillness. Are you thinking of one now? My guess is you are. For me, I go back to a time where I stood on the balcony of a monastery in Greece on Mount Athos, looking out on the Aegean Sea, and I wrote about it in a blog post called Where to Find Peace in Turbulent Times. But it's very vivid for me, and whenever I picture that, my whole body relaxes, I get quiet, and I'm suddenly present to this stillness. So perhaps the most important thing is just to start. You know, I've given you seven steps, but I would just say get started. You'll figure it out from there. It's easy to blow the discipline of stillness off as something you don't have time for. Don't. The busier you are, the more important it is. You need this in your life more than you know. And after you practice it for a couple weeks, I guarantee you, you'll agree with me. But even if you can only set aside 5 minutes a day, do it. And if you miss a day or two, don't beat yourself up. Just start again. That's what I do. Let me leave you with this question. Have you ever practiced stillness? If so, what was your experience like? And if not, what's keeping you from starting? You can leave your answer at michaelhyatt.com/98, as in episode 98. I would love to hear from you what your experience has been. And now let's turn to our listener Q&A segment. I've let these questions build up for a couple of weeks, but the first one comes from John.
Hello, Michael. This is John D. Harrison from classicallytrained.net, where I write about life and leadership lessons learned from classic video games. Here's my question. What advice would you have to individuals who create a new platform and essentially abandon their old one? How do you make the transition, and what are some tips as you're switching your branding and your identity and maybe even the direction of what you write about? I'd appreciate your thoughts. Thank you.
John, I might have to know a little bit more detail to answer this fully or in a way that's helpful, but the one thing I would say is that I've changed the focus of my blog several times through the years. In fact, if you go back on the Wayback Machine, which is a service that you can find on the internet, you can find a lot of different iterations of my blog. And I think I counted up six one time. In fact, I've got a lecture that I do or a keynote that I do on branding where I talk about this, because it's just so funny to look back and see all the different iterations in the past and see what I was interested in previously. But each time, I've taken the majority of my audience with me as I've made that shift. And the reason I've done that is because I've taken time to explain to them where I'm going and why. And I would just encourage you to do that. You won't get everybody. And I just don't think there's really probably, there may be in your situation, again, I don't know enough about it, but I don't think there's usually a reason to abandon an old platform and start over. I think a lot of times you can simply morph or evolve and take those people with you. The next question comes from Laura.
Hi, this is Laura Crosby from awakemysoulblog.com. I've been blogging for about 2 years now, about the relationships, experiences, and practices that God uses to form us. My question is, how do you decide whether to monetize or not? How much of a platform do you need before it's even possible? And how do you choose the right services consistent with your values?
Laura, I'm a big believer in monetizing your blog. And the reason I believe in that is because I believe that that allows you to serve people in a deeper, more profound, more impactful way. When you've got money coming in, you can begin to invest it in better production, higher quality research, you know, all the things that make for a better experience for your readers, or if you're, in the case of a podcast, a listener. So I would say that you need to monetize it, and that should be your default unless there's a good reason not to. I also, frankly, don't think it's helpful for people to get something for nothing forever. I think that that creates a kind of entitlement culture that we've got too much of in the world today. And so I would encourage you to help people learn that the things that are valuable cost something. They've got to be invested in it if they're going to learn from it. In terms of how much of a platform do you need before it's possible, this is just a rule of thumb, and I've seen plenty of exceptions to it, but I would say once you get to about 10,000 unique visitors a month, you've probably got a pretty decent platform that you could monetize with a little effort. And then how do you pick services that are consistent with your values? Just ask yourself the question, what are the services that I've found helpful, and what are the services that I love? And those are the things that you ought to be recommending to your readers. If you do that, then you can do it with authenticity and integrity. I never recommend anything that I don't love and that I don't personally use. If you do that, if you allow yourself to be the filter, it solves a lot of the problems. Next question comes from Paul.
Hi, Michael. My name is Paul Joliker, and I blog at pauljoliker.com. I've had a blog for a few years, and I have a presence on many of the major social media sites. My family and I are currently in the process of moving to Portland, Oregon. And right now, I'm looking for a job, looking for opportunities to earn an income for my family. And I'm just wondering what advice you might have on how I can leverage my blog and my social media presence to be able to find those opportunities that lie in Portland for me to get a job and to make an income. I would appreciate any of your thoughts or insights. Thank you and have a great day.
Paul, this is really an interesting question. I think if it were me, the thing I would do is that I would blog about what I'm looking for. And I would simply put it out there to my tribe and invite them to help me. People love helping. And especially if you've added value to their lives, my guess is that there are people out there who have connections in the Portland area and would love to help you. In fact, if you're listening to this podcast now and live in Portland or know an opportunity, get in touch with Paul. I've got a link to his website in the show notes for this podcast. So yeah, I would go out there and make sure my about page was really up to date and I was proud of it and it had all the most recent accomplishments and, you know, because that's basically an ad for you. And then I'd blog about it and put out the word, use the social media channels that you're in, like Facebook or Twitter or whatever, put out the word, get people to link to that, and that's how I would start. By the way, I use that same technique for finding people for my business. Whenever I'm trying to do anything, whether it's find the right software package, find the right person, look for an opportunity, I put it out to my tribe. I really believe in crowdsourcing because it works. The last question comes from Tiffany.
Hello, my name is Tiffany Black. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm an actor and writer. My website is www.tiffanysblack.com. For my day job, I work as a business manager for a local entrepreneur with a massive online platform. After listening to you, I know exactly what to do to help her build her residual income. However, that's going to create more work for me, and I get paid a flat rate. What I'd like to know is how can I facilitate getting paid for my ideas and for what I'm bringing to the table in making her so much more money. Thanks for all that you do, and all of your advice would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Tiffany, this is a great question because undoubtedly you can add value to your boss by doing exactly what you're proposing. And I would simply sit down with your boss and have a conversation. I would say, look, there's a lot of things that I'd like to recommend to you, but frankly, they're outside the scope of my current employment. And I want to recommend that we change the compensation model because I don't want you to take a risk if some idea I've got doesn't work. But on the other hand, if it really does work, I want to be compensated fairly for that. And I would recommend that you propose to your boss some kind of percentage, you know, of the revenue that you bring in or the net income that you bring in, but something that's reasonable that allows you to both win if the project wins. The worst kinds of relationships or the worst kinds of situations are when one party wins at the expense of the other. And so all you're proposing is a win-win kind of compensation agreement. And I think that's something you can sell. It's very low risk. There's nothing really for your boss to put at risk because this would be found money for her or him, as I understand it, because these are ideas that they're not presently using. So hope that's helpful. That's all the time we have for questions this week. If you'd like to ask me a question, go to michaelhyatt.com/question. You can either leave me a voicemail message or email me with your question. Again, go to michaelhyatt.com/question to leave a message. And I'll be back after the break with a few announcements and my tip of the week.
Thinking of starting your own blog but worried that your technical know-how is not up to scratch?
The good news is that starting blogging has never been easier.
Michael shares his knowledge with you free and will show you that 20 minutes is all it takes to have your own blog up and running.
Hey Michael, this is Sherry Langland from sherrylangland.com. I wanted to let you know that I used your screencast to set up my WordPress blog and found it just as easy to set up as a Facebook account. So thank you very much.
Join Michael and follow his quick and easy step-by-step video tutorial at michaelhyatt.com/WordPress setup. At michaelhyatt.com/WordPress setup.
Take action now and start blogging today.
Alrighty, first announcement. I'm just a few episodes away from episode 100, which is for me a massive milestone. And I want to make that a special episode. And among other things, I'm going to give away autographed copies of my book to anyone who leaves a question for me. And if I use it in that particular episode, and you can go again to michaelhyatt.com/question to leave a message. Again, if I use it, you'll get an autographed copy of my book. And that's just for episode 100. I also want to tease you a bit with what I have planned for the next 100 shows. I'm changing the format up completely. Basically, I'm blowing the show up and starting over. I think one of the greatest inhibitors to continued success or going to the next level is that we get stuck in a rut and we start playing it safe. We don't want to change things. Well, I don't want to do that. I want to change things up a bit. And I do believe that what I have in mind is going to take the show to an entirely different level. In fact, I've brought in someone to help me with the show who's very special to me, someone I really admire and respect. And I'll tell you a little bit more next week. This is just a tease, but I just want you to know the change is coming. And some people have difficulty with change. And I hope that's not you. Because if you're a leader and you've got difficulty with change, you've got a real problem. Because essentially, what you're called to do as a leader is to create change. And you've got to get comfortable with change and lean into it. And I'm going to give you that opportunity with the new format for my podcast. Finally, we've just launched our promotion for the Platform Conference, which will be held at the beautiful Broadmoor Resort and Spa in Colorado Springs, November 9 through 11, 2014. Speakers include Ken Davis, my business partner, Pat Flynn, who's the founder of Smart Passive Income podcast and blog, Amy Porterfield, the world's leading expert on Facebook marketing, Crystal Payne, Stu McLaren, Ray Edwards, Cliff Ravenscraft, Michelle Cachot, Casey Graham, and of course, me. I'll be leading two sessions. But if you're a small business owner, a business executive, social media manager, author, speaker, publisher, blogger, podcaster, mortgage broker, real estate agent, online marketer, or even a pastor or a church planner, this conference is for you. If you've got a message that you're trying to get out there and are discouraged or frustrated because there's so much noise and it's difficult to get heard, this conference will give you the inspiration and the practical tools you need to succeed. And as an added incentive, if you register before June the 19th, 2014, you can take $150 off the current early bird pricing by using the coupon code HYATT, H-Y-A-T-T. And all you got to do is visit platformconference.tv. That's the website for the conference, platformconference.tv. Now let me leave you with one final tip. Do you hate email? Man, I know I do. Even with a commitment to inbox zero, I struggle to keep up. Well, last week, I was trying to understand this, and I realized that 90% of my messages came from my own teammates. Well, that's fine, because I want to be available to them, and in fact, we've got to collaborate and work together, but email is not the best tool. In fact, all of us, our email was out of control. I was copied on conversations I didn't need to be part of. I could never find anything, even when using Mail's search function, and I just felt overwhelmed, and it just felt cumbersome. So my friend Pat Flynn, a smart passive income, suggested we give Slack, that's an application, Slack a try. It's like group messaging on steroids. It's kind of like Basecamp, but instead of being project-centered, it's more conversation-centered. So we decided to give it a try for a day. We loved it. I got about 20 email messages all day, which was a huge reduction in the number I was getting, and all the conversations were happening inside of Slack. The cool thing is you can use it to share images, files, links, basically anything, and you organize everything around channels, and then you can subscribe to the channels that interest you. You don't have to participate in all the conversations, and if you find something is not relevant or no longer relevant, you can unsubscribe from that channel. It's really slick, and I suggest you give it a try with the people you communicate with on a regular basis, whether they're inside your company or out. We're loving it, and I think we're going to continue to use it. Well, that's it for this episode of This Is Your Life. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please show the love by going to michaelhyatt.com/love and tweeting a link to the show. I'd be so grateful. That does help us keep our visibility up on iTunes especially. Thanks also to Asher Ta. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but Jess Rhodes and Courtney C22 for rating my podcast on iTunes this past week. If you'd like to do that and get a shout out on the program like I just did, you can go to michaelhyatt.com/iTunes. But until next time, remember, your life is a gift. Now go make it count. This is your This is your